This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. It's great to have you with us for the Tuesday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. Mostly cloudy and cold today with a high of 33. Right now it's 31 degrees. The wind chill index, 25.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Let's kick things off with an update on a really rough day on Wall Street. At Bloomberg, here's Elisa Parenti.
That's right, Cisco. The selling accelerated, and now the Dow is down 549 points, or more than 2%. The Nasdaq's losses climbing to 2.5%, down 189 points, and the S&P in retreat, down 61. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index down more than 2.5%. There's any number of reasons to explain why this might be happening. It's probably a combination of a couple of them. One reason the market is deflating, hopes for a trade deal with Canada are also falling. The U.S. agreed to delay a New Year's increase in tariffs, but the White House is otherwise dialing back expectations about the trade talks, and we still haven't heard anything officially from the Chinese side. A stock market has been dreading the Federal Reserve's interest rate hikes. It's now starting to worry the economy will force the Fed to begin cutting interest rates as soon as 2020. At least the bond market is pricing in that scenario. You can throw in Apple. That stock is sinking 3.5% right now on talk that it's offering a discount to buyers of its newest iPhone. Now, Apple's website is promoting a trade-in deal that values its newest iPhone at $300 less than its official sticker price. So certainly investors don't like that. Back to you, Cisco and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, in the future, airlines may be competing with first-class self-driving cars. And here in Chicago, co-mentoring with teams of 20 and over 60-year-old innovators.
And we're going to talk about retail with Jan Rogers Niffin, why consignment shops are becoming more and more popular. All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
An economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
A new program in Chicago will pair young and older innovators, allowing them to share cross-generational perspectives. We're going to cover that in our next segment, but right now, trade remains a market driver while Fed policy is being scrutinized. We are joined by Mark Hamrick, Washington Bureau Chief at Bankrate.com in Washington. Let's talk first, Mark. What is pushing the Dow Industrials down more than 2 percentage points today?
Well, I think that we made our way through last week with fingers crossed and hoping to some degree that issues involving U.S.-China trade and the Federal Reserve's rate intentions would be resolved cleanly and that we'd have no further problems after that. And Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell made some comments, of course, where he said essentially that the Fed is getting closer to the end of its rate-raising cycle. And we have a situation with U.S.-China trade, which is perfectly unclear. And I think we have to fault the Trump administration for that because the messages have been literally all over the place, including the president today basically saying, you know, that they don't have a deal. And that was sort of the tenor of the tone of the comments that he was making on Twitter yesterday. And so the lack of clarity between statements coming from the U.S. and China, we don't even know exactly when the calendar is set for the 90 days. Larry Kudlow had said that it would be basically beginning January 1st and the 90 days after that. And then the White House corrected him last night, basically via email. So this all has to do with a lot of confused messaging. But I think if you back away from all that, if you can, I think that there is a concern about the economic outlook. And, you know, we just published our quarterly economic survey, and economists are telling us the downside risks predominate over the next 12 to 18 months. So they said that 80% of the economists surveyed said that risks are tilted toward the downside. So you know, markets aren't going to do well if economic growth is either slowing or at some point if we enter a recession, but we don't see a recession immediately on the horizon.
What I've been seeing is that they're talking about recession maybe in 2 years, but I mean, we had a big recession 10 years ago. There will be a recession at some point.
Well, absolutely. The question is when and how bad. We had a recession beginning in early 2001 that did not last a long time. It was shallow. We had another one in 1980 that was short and shallow. And of course, typically financial crises or recessions do not follow one another for exactly the same reason. So we just simply, frankly, just don't know the answer to that. But we know, as you say, the expansion won't last forever. And it may be that the market's pricing in some of that here. The other part is that the bond market is flashing some at least caution signs with the yield of the 10-year Treasury now below 3%. It had gone as high as a little more than 3.2% a number of weeks ago.
We have seasoned investors who listen to the show and also brand new investors. Give us just like a very quick primer on the bond yield and why that matters.
Well, it's essentially a proxy for the strength of the U.S. economy and the expectations for the U.S. economy. And so fixed income, so to speak, is watched as a guide for the way the economy and markets may unfold over the future, whether you're looking at shorter duration notes or longer term, such as the 30-year Treasury. But the one thing that's getting a lot of attention right now, and this is one that, you know, bears better attention by reading than talking about it here, is simply the so-called inversion of the yield curve, meaning that we're not seeing a tremendous premium being paid for the amount of time that people would be invested in the market, meaning the yield should be substantially longer the farther out in the time horizon you'd go. So, read up on fixed income, inverted yield curves, and how they can be predictive of recessions, and that's one of the things that is causing concern here.
Any thought that wage growth, consumer sentiment, anything like that might maybe stem the tide of that predicted economic slowdown?
No, not right now, because I think those two other issues, basically trade and interest rates, are sort of at the top of the concern list. And so we have a jobs report due on Friday. And, unless it shows a tremendous slowing, which I don't think it will, or that wage growth is truly non-existent, it's likely to tell us that the economy is continuing to basically meander right along. That isn't going to resolve either the U.S.-China question or the Federal Reserve question, because also the Fed would say we're not going to make a judgment based on 1 month's numbers.
Mark, thanks for joining us today. Mark Hamrick is Washington Bureau Chief at Bankrate.com in Washington. And coming up, facilitating meaningful relationships between younger and older innovators here in Chicago.
Investing 60 minutes each weekday toward planning for the future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Chicago Innovation is launching a program designed to bring together different generations of innovators. It's all an effort to have them share skills and perspectives. Innovation for the Ages happens tomorrow evening between 5:30 and 8 at the Metropolitan Club in the Willis Tower. Joining us now to talk about it on the International Auto's Orland Park business line, Luke Tannen, Executive Director at Chicago Innovation. You can register for the event, by the way, at chicagoinnovation.com. Luke, tell us about this. What's behind it? What was the idea behind it? And why are you doing this?
Sure. Well, thanks for having me. So the event, Innovation for the Ages, is done in partnership between our organization and the Village Chicago. And it's all to shine a spotlight on people over the age of 60 who are not retiring themselves, but in fact, they're rewiring themselves or they're reinventing themselves. And it's to really highlight the message that it's never too late to innovate. It's never too late to take a risk, try something new, be outside your comfort zone, learn from people who've done it before. And maybe it also means you need to reinvent yourself. So that's going to be a big focus of tomorrow's event.
That's what's interesting to me is ordinarily when you hear about any programs where you bring experienced people together with far lesser experienced people, it's ordinarily about the folks who've been there for a while mentoring and providing all of their wisdom and experience to the younger people. But you're kind of turning that on its head, saying, hey, we all have something to learn from each other.
That's exactly right. So what you're talking about is a new program we're going to announce at tomorrow's event. It's called Ageless Innovators. It's an intergenerational co-mentoring program where there's going to be 40 mentors and zero mentees. because everyone's mentoring each other. It's half the group is in their 20s and 30s, half the group is in their 60s and 70s. It's trying to facilitate cross-generational sharing, relationships, perspective sharing, teaching of new skills, but then also to help address and combat the issue of ageism in the workplace, which is a real thing, and it's one of the most unconscious of the unconscious biases. And it's to really, you know, recognize the value that older adults have in the innovation and entrepreneurial ecosystem.
Share with us what your hopes are for the kinds of issues that they'll be tackling.
You know, and they'll all be unique. So we're doing this, the pairing, very much tailored. So it's based on people's specific goals and needs. And again, we're starting this. This is our pilot year. We'll have 40 people involved, but we want to scale it up significantly beyond that. And so I might be an older adult who's had a career in corporate America, and I'm looking to launch a nonprofit, and I don't know much about that. And maybe there's a 34-year-old who's done that very successfully. And it's just learning from other people, but in particular, people from different generations, because they provide different perspectives that we think are important to bring together.
Is there a cutoff in terms of how high the numbers go in an age, or is it is just people's interest and enthusiasm?
Yeah, no, there's no cutoff. We could have a person who's 100 years old in the program. But yeah, it's definitely based on interests and needs and goals. And so we're going to be identifying people in the Chicago community to be invited to take part. But there's also an application. So anyone who's out there who's interested in this program and wants to get involved, you just go to our website, chicagoinnovation.com, sign up for our mailing list, and we'll be sending out the application next month.
Luke, always good to have you on the show. Thank you. Luke Tannen, Executive Director at Chicago Innovation. And again, a reminder, you can register for this Innovation for the Ages event at chicagoinnovation.com. Still ahead, Travel Tuesday, how autonomous cars could provide an alternative to airlines. And Bloomberg checks the markets next as they continue to fall big time.
WBBM News Time, 12:25. Let's take a look at the markets, sponsored by Baird. Here's Elisa Peretti.
Chris, you probably would rather not. We are sinking with fierce, with which we haven't seen for a couple of weeks at least. The Dow tumbling 615 points, or 2.5%, down to 25,209. The Nasdaq's loss is now approaching 3%. The composite lower by 209 points on the day. And the S&P down 2.5%, or 69 points. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg also seeing losses of more than 2.5%. We've got a lot of reasons for the possible sell-off, or I should say a lot of possible reasons for the sell-off. There's nothing possible about it. It is definite. There are some concerns that the trade deal with China hasn't been finalized. We haven't heard anything officially from the Chinese on what they may have agreed to. That's a concern. There are also some concerns about interest rate hikes and whether the economy will force the Fed to start cutting interest rates as soon as 2020. We're seeing the bond market react in that way. Crude oil futures are slightly higher at $53.17. Now let's check in with Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
We have corn up 2.25 now in May. March is up 2.5 at 3.45. The January beans are up 5.5 at 9.11 1/4. Wheat for March up 3/4 at 5.22. Grains higher across the board. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thanks, Pete. I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 1230. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are tanking today. We'll see what's frightening the markets.
Travel Tuesday, autonomous vehicles may prove to be an option when taking shorter trips that you currently make by air.
The image of secondhand and consignment stores is changing, and they're drawing a younger crowd.
Teachers are on strike in suburban Geneva, also at a group of charter schools in Chicago.
Former Canadian Prime Minister Brian Mulroney will deliver a eulogy at the state funeral for President George H.W. Bush.
Right now on Wall Street, the Dow Industrials down 691, the NASDAQ off 226, and the S&P 500 down by 74.5.
Lots of clouds in Chicagoland throughout your day. High of 33, that's basically where we are now. 31 at O'Hare and Midway, 33 along the lakefront. The noon business hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park.
Markets are in the red today. We're talking with Vahan Janjigian, Chief Investment Officer at Greenwich Wealth Management in Greenwich, Connecticut. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Vahan. How would you describe what we're watching on Wall Street and why?
Well, incredible volatility, which is really kind of a return to normal. We've gone through fairly long periods of time with very little volatility, and now we're finding out that stocks go down as well as up. You know, today you can pretty much blame it on three things. One is interest rates. The other is economic growth or a fear of slowing growth. And then the third is China. Now, as far as interest rates go, there's a lot of fear that we may have an inverted yield curve. And the key interest rates to watch are the interest rate for the 2-year and the 10-year Treasury notes. So if the 2-year yield exceeds the 10-year yield, we have what's known as an inverted yield curve. And there are many people who believe that this is a prognosticator of a recession to come. However, one thing that's different this time is the size of the Fed's balance sheet. The balance sheet is absolutely huge, and the Fed has been trying to reduce the size of the balance sheet by selling some treasuries off the balance sheet. If it accelerates that, that should cause interest rates to go up again. The other fear is that the reason interest rates are falling all of a sudden is because economic growth might be slowing, and that's certainly bad for stocks. And then, of course, the third reason is the trade and tariff situation with China. President Trump seemed to indicate that we had reached some kind of a deal with China. China's statements were very different than the statements put out from the White House, and now investors are wondering, you know, was there actually anything discussed and agreed to while they were in Argentina?
Vahan, where do you think the economy is going, and how quickly?
Well, you know, I think the economy may slow. I wouldn't be surprised that it slows. A recession right now would surprise me. I don't really think that we are going into a recession because, for the most part, economic growth is still pretty good. And the employment situation is pretty good. People are still finding jobs. At least people who want jobs are finding jobs. So, you know, everything looks, you know, pretty good. So I'm not really expecting a recession. However, I am expecting the Fed to really slow down on the interest rate increases. Now, there's an expectation that's already baked in that they're going to increase the Fed funds rate one more time this year in December. But I think next year they may actually slow down, and I wouldn't be surprised if we saw only one increase next year.
Now, if that happens, given what the Fed has said previously, could that spook the markets as well, with people saying, wait a minute, there's a significant reason why the Fed is changing gears here?
Yes, absolutely. And that's why I think they will raise rates in December, because the expectation is so baked in. But if they were to have that meeting and then decide, you know, we decided to skip this month, you could see a big sell-off in the market, because the signal is that the Fed is really worried.
On a day like today, I mean, maybe it's just the day traders. Are there any, I guess, bargains, anything investors can do on a day when you have all the indexes down either right about 3% or even the NASDAQ down more than 3%? Anything an investor can do specifically on a day like today?
Well, one thing I've noticed is today there seems to be a little bit of a rally going on in food and beverage companies, you know, Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola, Smucker's. Kimberly-Clark, which actually is not a food or beverage company, but one of those staple stocks. So people are seeking safety, but the bigger trade is they're going into bonds rather than stocks. However, you know, putting things in perspective, we're still quite a bit higher today than we were only a week ago. So we're having a big sell-off today, but it doesn't really necessarily mean that we'll continue to go lower. Now, let me also remind you that tomorrow the stock market is closed, in honor of President Bush, and a lot of investors like to lighten up before they go into a weekend or a holiday, so that might have something to do with it as well.
And we're seeing a lot of activity today that obviously is going to slow down at some point. And if somebody asks you what are some of the areas in the markets that you would recommend looking into, what would you say?
Well, you know, I am a bottom-up stock picker, and you know, I did mention Smucker's. That is one of the stocks that I do have in my clients' portfolios, and that's something I do like. But I am also seeing, you know, what I would call rather unjustified sell-offs in some other stocks that I also like very much. You know, for example, let me see. I would say that L Brand is a stock that I recently added to my portfolios because it had sold off, and today we're seeing, you know, a rather sizable sell-off in that again. I think another stock that people might want to consider is MKS Instruments, ticker symbol MKSI. That's a company that makes equipment for semiconductor companies, and that's having a rather big sell-off today. So I think if you take advantage of these sell-offs and go into these companies that are actually, you know, doing well, their business is doing well, you know, in the long run, you should do okay.
Is this a time to consider dividend stocks, at least part of your portfolio?
Well, you know, I do favor dividend stocks. I think they should also always be a part of your portfolio. And there are a number of stocks out there that have very, very good yields. Ford Motor Company, for example, has an excellent yield, and I think they can continue to sustain that dividend. And we're seeing a sell-off in that today, too. Now, Ford, of course, is will be a huge beneficiary if a trade deal is worked out with China. But you're banking a lot on that.
Vahan Janjigian, always appreciate the insight. Vahan is Chief Investment Officer at Greenwich Wealth Management in Greenwich, Connecticut. Up next, it's Travel Tuesday, how a self-driving car could replace a short airline flight.
Because money matters. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Travel Tuesday, sponsored by Kaler Luggage. This afternoon, we're looking at the potential of self-driving vehicles as a replacement for a short airline flight. We welcome Paul Hochman, president of Humongous Media, former tech editor for the Today Show, based in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Paul, so we're talking about someone, what, climbing into a self-driving car instead of having to wait at all those gates in the airlines?
That's exactly right. In fact, there are a lot of stats to back up the idea that Volvo's concept car, and it is a concept car called the 360C, is the right solution for the majority of travelers who, when they go to the airport, are traveling, according to stats, for fewer than 400 miles. So in many cases, people who are commuting, say from Salt Lake City to San Jose, or from New York to Boston or Washington, those flights, which are the majority of flights in the U.S. in terms of numbers, those could easily be replaced if there were self-driving vehicles that allowed you to basically sleep through the trip.
Not only sleep, but is a big part of it just the line for security, having to get there early, having to wait, and then on the back end, having to go and grab your luggage and get to your car and all of that sort of stuff. Is that really where you end up saving time?
It's true, it will. The answer is absolutely yes. In fact, that's why, I mean, speaking of not the 360C for a second, that's why the Acela, which is a very fast train between Boston and New York and Washington, is so effective, because a lot of people realize when they factor in security and driving to the airport and having to get there an hour early and parking and everything else, that the net-net is that the train is roughly the same and is often a lot less expensive and certainly less stressful. The Volvo's 360C, this concept car, is envisioned as a replacement as well. However, remember that car, unless they change infrastructure dramatically, will be driving on the same crowded roads that the people in the trains and the planes are trying to avoid.
And Volvo is competing with air travel specifically here, but aren't other car companies going to want to compete with Volvo?
Oh, in fact, virtually every car company that you could name, and many that you can't yet, because they're in sort of startup mode, are aiming for exactly that space. In the end, this is all going to be an infrastructure story, because a self-driving vehicle replacing airplane travel, which is currently stressful and inefficient and so forth, is exactly where Ford and GM and BMW and Volkswagen and all the other companies are looking and spending lots of money. GM in particular spending lots of money, in addition to Ford, on automated vehicles and the infrastructure that will support it. All those sensors are required too. So the answer is yes, that's where they're all aiming.
And imagine for us, when are we going to be seeing these cars making this trip? How soon will this be?
Well, you know what? It's really interesting. Like flat screen TVs that showed up before there was cable programming to show on those flat screen TVs, I think a lot of these car companies are building vehicles and aiming for 2020, 2021, to answer your question, maybe 2 to 3 years from now, for those first vehicles and first automated travel that's truly automated. Remember, at the University of Michigan right now, there are buses, right as we speak, taking people from one part of the campus to the other without a driver. So automated driving's here, but in terms of mass use of it, within 2 to 3 years.
So talk through the challenge of safety and really just people feeling safe in an automated vehicle. I mean, it sounds really great. You climb in, you lay down, you go to sleep, and the next thing you know, you wake up and you're in St. Louis. But there is this feeling, how do I know there's not going to be an accident?
Well, that, it's not just that. First of all, absolutely correct. That's the question a lot of people are asking. The sort of the other shoe drops when people say, great, I'm going to go to sleep. But then what happens? And, you know, the meet me, speaking of St. Louis, meet me in St. Louis is a great goal, but to coin a song phrase. But
yeah.
Guess what? There are many people who won't be that comfortable sleeping in a vehicle that's moving, that's going through, say, an urban area that they're scared of, or that's going in a place where there's lots of traffic and getting in on and off the highway. Anybody who drives their own vehicle knows it's not easy. And leaving that in the hands of extremely sophisticated technology is still going to be a psychological barrier that we're going to have to get over, probably before the technical barrier.
Yeah, I'm going to guess people were afraid of airplanes at first, though, and they seemed for the most part to get over those
fears.
Still
are, in many cases.
Yeah, some of them are. Paul, appreciate it very much. Thanks for being with us. Paul Hochman, president of Humongous Media. Join us at this time tomorrow, Personal Finance Wednesday. Still to come, how formerly shabby stores have become chic.
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Some of the stigma attached to secondhand and thrift stores appears to have diminished, and they're attracting a younger crowd looking for cheap and unique items. Joining us on the International Autos Orland Park business line is Jan Rogers Niffen, CEO of J. Rogers Niffen Worldwide in New York. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Jan. I think we're talking about the teenagers who are buying the T-shirts from those stores and even Christmas Santa sweaters this year and last year too. What are you seeing?
Well, it's a lot more than teenagers, I'll tell you. Back in the day, 2016 wasn't that long ago. 9 million consumers shopped the resale business. In 2017, a year ago, 44 million consumers shopped in resale. This year, I believe 65 million people will shop resale. Why is that happening? It's not happening because of goodwill. It's happening because of the internet, led by RealReal, Poshmark, Vestiaire Collective, Depop, Rebag, Tradesy. All of those names are doing resale out of your closet to another consumer. It's a really big growing business. It's going to be the fastest growing thing in resale, or in retail, probably for the next 5, 6, maybe longer years. Growing at like 40% a year. It's pretty amazing.
Who is making the money here?
Who is making the money? Well, I sell out of my closet, so I reduce my cost of having clothes in my closet. As a matter of fact, they were starting to refer to that as velocity of closet. You buy it for $80, you sell it to somebody else for $20, and you go out and buy something else because you're tired of what it was. So you make some money from the point of view of not costing you as much as otherwise would, and then all of those people I named are taking a little tiny slice out of that sale and making a living on the internet. So that it's a very interesting business because it's environmentally friendly. Nobody's making a new product that they're selling as a resale. And it doesn't cost that much to the environment to ship it around. And you get a unique item that probably somebody else doesn't walk in the place wearing the same time you do because it's not coming from fast fashion or some other retailer that's selling all the same product at the same time. People like it. It's unique and it's interesting and fun. It used to be this dirty secret of where you got your stuff. Now it's like becoming very chic to have
name dropping, right?
Product. Yeah, you buy a Birkin bag. Somebody else paid $15,000 for it. You bought it for $4,000. You think you got a great deal. Now I know that's an extreme case, but it works all across the spectrum.
Jan Rogers Niffen, thanks for being with us. J. Rogers Niffen, that's the CEO of J. Rogers Niffen Worldwide. If you missed any part of today's Noon Business Hour, the replay podcast is available shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the all-new Radio.com app. An update on the fall of Wall Street today. WBBM News Time, 12:55, quite a day on Wall Street. Let's get an update sponsored by Kaler Luggage at Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco, the losses are really piling up now. The Dow is falling 694 points or 2.75%, down to 25,136. NASDAQ down more than 3% or 228 points. S&P tumbling 73 points, also a loss of more than 2.5%. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg also down almost 3%. Trade hopes are fading. Goldman Sachs and others are more skeptical today that the U.S. and China made any meaningful breakthroughs on trade issues at the G20 summit. And it doesn't help that the president's chief economic advisor walked back some of the things Trump said in his tweets, that China will reduce tariffs on U.S.-made cars. Car makers are among the biggest decliners. With Business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.